Welcome to Trial by Wine. We take a closer look at crimes that highlight how fascinating humans can be. Schmitty, Swanee and Clarkey visit crimes and run them through their jury of three, debating both sides of the case to agree an appropriate, if totally fictitious, sentence. Please be advised, Trial by Wine may include explicit or disturbing content and will include drunken rambling. Listener discretion is advised. All right, how are we?
Very well. Yes. Good, it's an exciting Saturday arvo. We don't normally do this.
I know. As I said on our group chat, let's have a little bit of afternoon delight.
Absolutely.
I don't know what that means, of course, because I'm sweet.
It's something to do with skyrockets in flight, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, true. Well, I clearly didn't know what it was then. And any news?
I've got some.
Go on.
Oh.
I'm worried that there is a serial killer in Chilton. Chilton is this tiny little town in northeast Victoria. It literally has one street in it. And I went there to go to the butcher the other day and there was a Nissan Cube parking in the street. So I even got to see the driver of it. And just quietly, he did look like one.
A cube?
Well, his car was a cube. He looked like a serial killer.
Oh, God.
He looked like a serial killer.
So I think, yeah, there's no doubt either bodies are about to start disappearing or he's on his way through because it's just off the highway. So he could be coming down to Melbourne.
So he didn't approach him and ask any questions as to why the cube?
Excuse me, do you need a hand getting some furniture into the back of your cube?
Oh, God. I don't. No. I just so rarely see them here.
I gave him a wide berth. I've never seen one this close to home. That's just outrageous.
That must be very unsettling.
Maybe it was Wiggers and it wasn't a he.
Oh, you had to bring her up, didn't you? It's been a while.
She's on her way down from Queensland to get me. She'll knock me off first and then she'll head over that way. So if I disappear, go into hiding, Swanee.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that's my news. How about anyone else?
Well, you reminded me because you were talking about serial killers of something that happened yesterday.
Oh, that I was. Would that be?
I didn't even realise how that came.
That's what I got up to.
Oh, okay. Funny you should say that.
Sorry. I don't think you've quite cleaned all the blood off.
I got a little bit distracted because I was trying to do a little fact checking before I launched into this story. But yesterday, I was at the pet shop. I was there to buy a 20-kilo bag of bird food. I picked this thing up and I'm like, oh God, it's really heavy. And I'm walking along and I'm listening, just, you know, catching the conversation of the two girls who work in the shop. And one is talking to the other about Gypsy Rose Blanchard. And I thought, this is interesting. So, you know, immediately I start listening in. She was telling the other girl, that Gypsy Rose Blanchard had gotten out of jail and married someone.
Correct.
Yeah, and then the other girl says, oh, that was their brother. Yeah. Then says, oh, that was the brother who was Ryan Scott Anderson. And I'm not sure I don't think Ryan Scott Anderson was her brother because our story says that she was an only child. But this shop assistant said, oh, no, she had this kid and then gave him up. So anyway, I'm like, whatever. But then there were two things that happened that were quite amusing. One, that they're talking about this and talking about this, her being married to this guy, and then filing for divorce. And then I'm sort of listening and the girl looks at me and instead of what I would think would be a standard response in a shop, having worked in them before, instead of saying, can I help you with anything? She looks me dead in the eye and she goes, are you eavesdropping?
Oh,
very dumb.
Oh my God. No, I'm waiting for you to serve me.
I looked at her and I said, yes, I am.
Future cube driver.
No, yes, I am. I think that surprised her. And I said, because I do a true crime podcast and we covered this story and I don't remember any of this shenanigans that you're going on about. Of course, that meant for her that she had permission and carte blanche to continue to tell this story to the other girl. Never mind, I'm holding a 20-kilo bag of birdseed, right, and I just want to pay for it and go. And she's banging on about it and she's saying to the other girl, yeah. And then so she's divorcing this guy who may or may not be actually her brother or half-brother and she's going out with Pete Davison.
Oh, stop it.
And I'm like, what? And that's what the other girl said. The other girl's like, bullshit. And you the two of the non-pop culture.
Is that why
guys
he just said,
saying,
I don't remember?
Who is Pete Davidson?
I have
Pete
no
Davidson?
Idea who Pete Davidson is.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
He was an SNL.
Yeah, we're not talking about Peter Davison, the English actor who played Doctor Who and other memorable characters.
Who I still couldn't pick out of a lineup.
Well, you might actually. More than I would this other Pete Davison, who's actually, as you just said, from Saturday Night Live, went out with Kim Kardashian.
Was engaged to Ariana Grande. He's gone out with all these really beautiful women, and he's very ordinary. Well, I'm being polite. He's very ordinary looking, and he's got like an autoimmune disease.
Isn't
so he looks really skinny and gaunt and pasty, and he's covered in tats.
And now he's going out
all these
with
hot
Gypsy
women.
Rose.
I can't believe that. I'm going to look it up right now.
That's I'm doing.
I'm not having it.
Ariana Grande, Kim Kardashian, and Gypsy Rose.
I know.
At one point, he dated one
of the girls from Bridgerton. At one point, you know, the little blonde whose mum was on Coronation Street. Hang on.
But apparently the internet is joking about the internet is now a sentient being that is joking about.
Because he's gone out with everybody.
Because he's a serial dater. And so
they always, that's right. And whenever somebody becomes single, and usually the more far-fetched, you know, it is like when like the Queen, when Prince Philip died, like they were like, watch out, Pete Davidson.
He was spotted in the crowd.
You've got to look at what he looks like to get the sort of the full gist of why it is so
entertaining, right, boys?
Yeah.
And like, his name's Pete Davidson.
Apparently, he's got a massive schlong and he's a really nice guy, but he's a massive druggo. His dad was a firefighter who was killed in September 11. Like, there's this just crazy sort of story around him. Yeah.
Anyway, that was my little story that I thought you'd find amusing, is that the girl in the pet shop in Sunbury was convinced that that wasn't a joke, it was true. And but my favourite part was the, are you eavesdropping?
I love that.
Afterwards, how dare you? Actually,
that's
quite rude, isn't it?
Yes.
But I was, at the time it wasn't, but then I walked
You were off your game there. You were really eavesdropping. Yeah. Otherwise, you would have fucking taken her to task.
Well, oh, no, right. Imagine if you weren't.
Yes, I am. And I looked at her like a serial killer. Yeah, I am. Yeah.
I reckon she sounds like a future cube driver, though, for sure.
What you will find amusing is as I walked out, she yells out, what's the name of your podcast? And there's all these other people trying to get served and I'm yelling out, Trial by Wine, as I'm going out. I'm like, goodness me, I don't think we'll get a new listener off that one.
That explains that spike in listenership overnight.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my news. So I suppose we should introduce ourselves. I'm Schmitty.
I'm Swanee.
And I'm Clarky. And together we are... Trial by Wine.
And what are we drinking?
Oh, I've just cracked open my first Coke Zero of the day. And because it's so early, because it's 12 o'clock, I'm really enjoying it.
I love it. We've got a bit of stuff to do after we podcast. We've got a lamb on the spit, or a leg of lamb on the spit at the moment.
Melverton!
Well, not yet. He's too young for that.
Oh, what's the concept with the name?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay, I'll tell you the story. So at the moment, for those who don't know, we've got a baby lamb that we're bottle feeding because the mum passed away. Mm. And we had this happen a few years ago.
So is it mum on the spit?
No.
Oh,
God, no.
Oh.
That'd be mutton dressed up as mutton.
Yeah.
So we had this happen a few years ago, and we named the baby then Jackie Lambie, who is a politician in Tasmania. You're always going to have a sort of a lamb joke going on with it. Anyway, when I posted that we had this one, a friend of mine said, oh, you need to call it Dylan or Milverton. And I'm like, why is that? Apparently Jackie Lambie has two boys, one's Dylan and one's Milverton. So we chose Milverton. So we're keeping the Lambie theme going. Yeah, so it's going round and round and round. And we've got to finish that off after this and have a bonfire in the paddock, which is when we'll actually do the proper drinking. So just a little bit of zero rosé for us for now.
Okay, right.
Ooh, tidy. Mm. And Schmitty?
Oh, I am on a mango chutney.
The mango chuts.
Anyway, who's got a story for us today?
I do.
All right. What do we got today?
Well, we're still going with the travel theme. We've still got a few more countries to go until all of that's done.
Oh, we've
dusted.
Probably got about 100 more countries to go, so you guys have been everywhere, man.
So anyway, today we're going to head to Indonesia and to the tropical island paradise of Bali. So we had a few days staying there with a lovely friend in her timeshare resort and spent most of the time lazing by the pool and relaxing after our hectic South American adventures. If you've never been to Bali, there's a lot to love. So think beautiful beaches, rich cultural heritage, lots of activities such as surfing, diving and hiking, delicious food such as nasi goreng and satay lilit, and, of course, the beautiful and super friendly Balinese people. They are really lovely. Despite all of these great reasons, Bali was never on our bucket list. And it was never on our bucket list for one main reason, which is tourists behaving badly. My view of going to Bali was going to be that, you know, it would be those sort of end of season footy trips, crazy drunk Australian bogans letting off too much steam in a foreign country. And more recently, you lay over the top of that the insufferable Instagrammers who are either
insufferable
ignorant
Instagrammers.
Yeah.
Oh, so, it's a lot over there. I found out they're everywhere. Every place is inundated because there are so many places that are made to look a certain way or create, you know, like they are capable of that, but it's off the charts. Like we can't go to certain places now. It's just full of influencers with different outfits to put on in the same place.
Yes. Yeah. I will dress up for this photo.
Yeah.
And they're either ignorant of or completely disrespectful to the local culture. So that, you know, I can't believe that they can be that ignorant that they just go and do these offensive things. I think they are just being disrespectful. I'm sure there are some who aren't, but yeah, correct, right? That's kind of my philosophy. Anyway, so in my research, I found a couple of cracking true crime stories that I nearly ran with, but then I decided that I would endeavour to keep things lighthearted. So today I'm going to tell you a few stories about what really goes on in Bali.
Which I have to say thank you for, because our last recording, as we all know, didn't go quite according to plan, which means the last story that will go live is your hate crime one. And there was nothing lighthearted in that, having
edited it.
Yeah. So thank you for returning to something that's more on the comedy side, hopefully.
Let's hope so. So, yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and break the what happens in Bali stays in Bali code. And
I'm going to
tell you about some of the most unfortunate and tragic ways that you can die on a holiday, along with some of the more unusual things that happen. And I feel like with all of these, you know, that what I was talking about with the Aussie bogans and the Instagrammers, I feel like in some ways the island might be fighting back. So I'll tell you a collection of short stories. No need to brace yourselves for anything dark. There's no serious and complicated crimes, no serial killers, not even any cube drivers. Just pour yourself a drink, sit back, and feel free to chime in whenever it suits.
Okay.
But first, my sources. au.news.yahoo.com. It feels like it's somehow backwards. It's very, very confusing. But, my God, are they all over the shenanigans that go on in Bali? Most of my stories came from there. dailymail.co.uk, theguardian.com, news.com.au, and Channel 7. Right, so first up, some tourist statistics. So pre-COVID, Bali's Indonesian Tourism Industry Association recorded 6.3 million tourists. And, of course, with COVID, that all dried up and you would have seen some of those stories about what was going on in Bali with no people. As of December 2023, this had recovered to 5.37 million tourists, so well on the way to getting back to where it was. In September 2023, and Swanee, this is from the West Australian.
We were there in September 2023.
Right. Well,
probably with the rest of Perth.
They reported that in the 2022-2023 financial year, 107 Australians died in Bali.
Ooh!
And another 114 were hospitalised with serious illness as a result of accidents. So that's like two a week.
That's too much. That's terrible.
They're big numbers.
They are.
Now, we've discussed plenty of issues where people have died due to unsafe conditions or actions of others. And the first one that sprang to my mind was Mary Joseph in the Lafayette pool.
Mm-hmm.
That pool had so many regulations and still people didn't follow them, leading to tragedy. Now, one of the things we all love about travel is the freedom that comes with it and the sense of being carefree and that weight that comes off your shoulders. But what happens when you take people from countries used to stringent safety regulations and put them in a country with lower regulations? Well, let me tell you about some of the Indonesian holiday nightmare stories I found. The first one is Angel Billabong. So Angel Billabong is considered a must-see destination while in Bali after being popularized by, you guessed it, social media. But it's also a serious death trap. Only a short ferry ride away from Bali, many come to admire the beauty of the natural infinity pool overlooking the ocean, as well as other Instagrammable locations in Nusa Penida. However, the tranquil waters can just as easily turn into a rough monster waves threatening to smash swimmers into the cliffs. And I'll show you a couple of pictures because it might give you a sense as to what I'm talking about.
Well, I can see someone's bum.
Yeah, right?
That is a big bum.
I've just got
a very attractive beach, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got a beautiful pool that overlooks the ocean. It looks fantastic.
If we could see it if around that ass, yeah.
Oh, no, right. It's quite large.
It's definitely but
you get the idea. People going there to get these perfect photos. So always listen to the guides, one tourist warned on TikTok, which is where I get my travel advice from.
Yeah, yeah.
A video of four girls peacefully swimming in the water moments before being swallowed by the waves communicates the risk. They are very lucky, one person communicated on the Instagram video. I heard scary stories from the local tour guide when I visited Angel's Billabong. That place is magnificent, but an absolute death trap. Google how many deaths and injuries, just terrible. Luckily, we were warned by Balinese friends before going, another said. At that spot, there is a sign warning visitors not to stand close to the cliffs. However, there are none about when's the safest time to swim. I feel like most of these people wouldn't read the signs anyway.
Mm. Not if they thought they're getting a photo.
That's right. Everything's worth the risk for the perfect photo. Mm. There have been several fatalities reported at Angel Billabong, most recently in 2018, when a 46-year-old Chinese national, Chi Wei Anhui, maybe? Was taking a selfie from the water and a wave crashed into him, pulling him out to sea.
Oh.
In 2017, a similar incident occurred only on the edge of Angel's Billabong Cliffs. New Zealand man Temsor Jr. Simeki and his girlfriend were taking a selfie when she was hit by a wave and fell into the ocean.
Mm.
Mr. Simeki died trying to save her, Sydney Morning Herald reports. In 2016, Perth local Brad Williams and his wife, Lestari Williams, were honeymooning when they were hit by a wave along the rocks at Angel Billabong. Mrs. Williams was pulled away from her husband and her body washed up on the coastline the following day.
Oh, God, when was that?
2016.
Oh, we weren't here. Because I say I've never heard that. Wow, that's awful.
Mm. So that's Angel
Before
Billabong.
Before my time. I find it interesting it's called Billabong. That's such an Australian word,
it is, isn't it?
It must be why, though, because so many Aussies
go. I bet you're right, yeah.
Anyway, so I feel like that's a case of the island fighting back against insufferable Instagrammers, albeit very tragic deaths that I shouldn't joke about. Story number two is the glass walkway. And this is just going to go straight into the news story. It's pulled straight from the newspaper or Yahoo, yeah. Whatever it was. A tourist has died and three left injured after a glass walkway shattered at a popular beauty spot in Indonesia. Oh, Schmitty, I just saw your face.
But that sounds horrific.
So horrific. This is the bridge.
Oh, my God. They were walking on something a billion meters up. What's with the giant golden arm? But anyway.
It's a hand holding the bridge up. It's the
not
support.
Very well. And it's the glass bridge. Well, oh, my God.
Yeah. The tragedy struck while 11 tourists from Cilacap, Central Java, were crossing the Geong Bridge around 10 a.m. on Wednesday, some 30 foot or 10 metres off the forest floor.
Ow.
Two fell through the glass into the Limpakuas pine forest below, where one was later declared dead. The other sustained minor injuries. I am absolutely terrified when I go on bridges everywhere. I mean, I'd still do it, but I get terrified. A glass bridge, you can have that.
I can't believe that. I've been on glass platforms before. I always thought there would be something reinforced so that if it did shatter, that something would happen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you fall
this
down.
This is awful of me. Yeah. But I am looking at the photos in the Daily Mail of that bloody arm. Why are the nails painted? Schmitty, get a look of that. You're not going to be happy. I don't like the colour. The nails are horrendous. Get on it. Tourist dies after 30-foot high glass bridge. And it's got some very trashy red nail with gold. It's very...
Is it shellac?
It's a lot.
Oh, crypto gel.
You want long nail? Can you see it? You like long nail?
Oh, honey, why you no ham?
For our listeners, that is referencing a particular comedy routine.
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the comedian who does it, which is very good.
She's hilarious.
Can you see it, Schmitty? You've got to see the nails. Photos
I see it. Oh,
yes. Can you see the nails? Oh, it's so tacky.
Well, that, I mean, in fairness.
That's why you're not her boyfriend.
I think that's why Richard had enough of that shit and went,
I do think there is some cultural thing about gods, Balinese gods, having red nails and gold effigy type stuff. I think that's a cultural thing. You insensitive non-woke person.
Oh, gosh. I think I've just offended the entire.
I tell you, you have.
Now the Uyghurs and the Indonesian population, of which there's a number, are coming.
She's doing a U-turn.
Well, picture of those nails.
Swanee, to be fair, it's not the god of fashion.
It's a very bold red. It's a very bold red nail.
The bridge runs between the fingers, the grasping fingers this giant gold arm and a hand. So I can understand. For me, it's not so much the red nails. It's more the actual positioning of. What are they? Is it trying to grab the bridge and destroy it? Is it holding it up? What is it doing? I find it very menacing. And then add the red nails.
I would have done a little bit of landscaping around the bottom, wouldn't you?
Why doesn't the arm go down to the ground?
I know.
Did you notice the pixelation at the bottom where the bodies have landed?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, now I feel very bad. Oh, God,
that's the body.
Oh, my God.
Now look. Look, it's pixelated out.
Oh, God, I hadn't even noticed that. I was just looking at the...
And there's somebody halfway through the bridge as well.
You two are terrible.
Muriel?
I mean, all of you. It's just the fact that you pointed that out. I was looking at tourist photos of this bridge, not people flying on it. Jesus. All right.
I didn't even know what I was looking at, but now I feel particularly bad because I was looking at it from a sort of a landscaping / design point of view.
I didn't realize that
people's bodies were there. Now I feel
because we were looking at the nail polish at the top. We weren't looking at the bodies at the bottom. Yeah.
I know. I didn't realize what I was focusing on. Oh, that's terrible. I'm so sorry.
But also, you say you're sorry and that's terrible, but, you know, why are the press even showing photos with that sort of stuff in it? That's not
I know,
good.
Right. It's not.
It annoys me that they do that. Ghoulish.
So back to the story then, because it does, the next bit says.
Stop laughing at me. Ghoulish. And now tell us more about someone dying.
Well, no, because it links nicely. Video shot nearby shows a tourist struggling to climb back up immediately after the glass walkway shattered earlier this week.
Oh, God.
The camera refocuses to show the body of another unnamed tourist below having fallen through the glass. Above, onlookers rush to help the trapped tourists before helping them off the bridge. There's a thing in Melbourne called Eureka Tower, and it has thing called The Edge.
No way.
We got free tickets to it. Now, I'm scared of heights. So we went up there and we did the viewing deck, and then we gave the tickets to The Edge thing away. The Edge thing is where you go into a dark room, it slides out from the edge of the building, and then you hear the sound of breaking glass.
Who thinks that's funny?
The glass that looked like it was opaque becomes open.
Like you're falling through. I mean, who in their right mind designs shit like this and says this is a great idea? And that's like, 30 stories or something? So it's one of the highest towers in Melbourne.
I had no interest in that.
I've never done it. But for the same reason, I just think, what idiot? No, thank you.
Yeah, I'd rather do true crime podcasts.
You could go to Bali and have the real experience. Go on the bridge and actually.
I wonder if it's actually part of some kind of a ride.
Maybe that's where they got the idea.
No, but you notice that the people who are on the bridge at the time it shatters are tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in the back of your mind, because the island could very well be fighting back.
Yeah, the island's fighting back. Well, with your angel billabong, while you were telling that story, I kept it was raking my brain to think of going back to my cryptozoology days, the name of the animal, the bunyip. Maybe point, Swanee, about it being called a billabong. Maybe it's called a billabong because it's actually a bunyip that comes up and grabs people and puts them in the water. They're not being washed away at all. The island is fighting back.
I reckon against insufferable Instagrammers.
So I was just having a little look online and it said here, I've got a headline that says Indonesian glass bridge that shattered. It was just 1.2 centimetres thick. Now, my understanding is anything you've... It's like walking on your bloody shower like screen. What we've done here is we've put a shower screen and it says investigators also found the bridge had not been properly maintained, that there had been no safety testing nor safety nets. You've basically, my understanding is whenever I've been places that have been very high and there's glass, whatever else, and it must be, you know, like I'm thinking it's like 10 centimetres thick and then there's steel underneath it and there's all these other things. But no, walking across a shower screen is really not going to.
people have glasses that are thicker than that.
Oh my god,
that's not enough.
Probably wasn't even tempered glass, it was just like glass. That'll do. That is shocking.
It was perspex.
But I think the lesson
didn't shatter,
that,
it just cut you up and as you fell through it.
Oh, don't. The lesson in that, Swanee, is never assume that the person who has built the bridge has actually done any of the things from a safety perspective that you would like them to have done.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was kind of my point around the safety expectations that we have here. So we go, we all think, you know, there's so much safety stuff here that we go over there and act crazy. They don't have it.
Swanee's just like holding up the gap between her fingers of 1.2 centimetres.
When I,
oh, my God.
When I went to university in Canberra, in the first year I lived in a share house and it was owned by a woman who was, you know, I thought she was old. She was probably in her mid-20s and I boarded with her kind of with another student. Anyway, one morning it was so cold when I got up, I was in the shower and it shattered whilst I was in there. Like
the shower
it didn't break, but it shattered, didn't all fall down. But it had that sort of like ruffled look, so it was a bit smoky, you couldn't quite see in.
Yep.
Maybe this bridge would have benefited from the smoky, you know, the smoky 70s ruffle, so that would have at least when it did shatter, it didn't totally collapse.
Well, that's the thing. It's like windscreen glass and things like that. Unless something goes through it, it's not supposed to actually shatter and collapse.
Yeah. Because that was the woman said to me, "What did you do? What did you do?" And I was like, honestly, it was just, I did nothing. It scared the hell out of me. But she's like, "You sure you didn't like touch it or knock?" I was like, honestly, it must have been the cold, the hot.
Was it? No, that's just age and expansion. You don't have to do anything for that. But it does beg the question with the glass used in this bridge, whether or not it's tempered or reinforced at all. Yep. Sounds like it wasn't. Yeah.
Not as what at one point.
I think it begs the question is the island fighting back?
All right.
I think it is.
Tell us another island fights back.
Next story. Yeah. A 22-year-old tourist has died after falling off a 15-metre cliff in Bali while admiring the romantic sunset with his girlfriend on Tuesday evening. Imagine that.
Wasn't very romantic at the end of that. Ugh.
Maximilian Alexander Tenzer from Germany visited the popular lookout at Pura Luhar Sriyong Beach with his 21-year-old partner Selena. It's
Maximilian.
What was it? That always makes me laugh. So he was with his girlfriend Selena and was filming the sun disappearing below the horizon when he slipped and tumbled down a ravine at Hindu temple Pura Luhar Sriyong.
Shit.
Local media reports. Now, here's the cliff.
Way to go. 15 metres didn't sound very high, but now I'm looking at it. That's horrific.
Yeah.
It's quite a sheer drop too. Like, it's not one of those ones where you could fall off and hang on to something.
Off. Yeah.
You are gone. Oh, my God.
The island fights back. Slipped or a bunyip?
Because the victim was not careful and didn't pay attention to his steps, the victim didn't realise he was on the edge of a cliff and fell down.
In whose opinion? We can't hear from the victim who says, I took extra care with my steps. Thank you very much.
Tabanan police spokesman Gusti Made Barata.
Victim blaming, that's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
He said the German traveller was distracted by his mobile phone and accidentally wandered too close to the cliff's edge.
Right. Maybe put up a fence.
Or maybe pay attention.
Put up a fence and put 1.2 centimetre glass around it to keep people safe.
That's it.
To keep the bunyip out.
Yeah, yeah. Shower screens. Keep us safe.
Honestly, right. The number of times we saw people on their phones at, you know, so many different places, and it's atrocious. Like, they just want the perfect shot. They do things, get closer and closer to the edge, and you look at them and going, well, good on you, but every now and then the island fights back.
This episode is either called The Island Fights Back or Darwin Awards, one or the other.
I couldn't work out. There was a lot of Darwin Award going through my mind. A distraught Selena shouted for help and contacted the taxi driver who had dropped them off before begging nearby residents for help. Police soon arrived in the area but could immediately tell a 22-year-old had succumbed to his severe injuries. Now, you like this one. Footage posted on Facebook by Potsa Buana Bali Rescue show members walking through brush at the bottom of the cliff, locating Tesna's body.
No, I don't like this. This upsets me. Too much stuff is filmed and put online.
Oh, why would you put that on Facebook? After being checked, the victim was no longer conscious. His head was bleeding, his ears were bleeding, and he was dead, Bharata said.
Awful.
But still put it on Facebook.
I know, it's disgusting.
Ugh.
No respect for the victim.
Let's move on to the next story. Swanee does have a connection to your neck of the woods. A 26-year-old, so this is called Scooter Crash. A 26-year-old man from Fremantle, WA, has died in Bali after being trapped in a drains ditch where it's believed he crashed his scooter. The body of Keith Coughlin, originally from Ireland, was found by a local in the early hours of Sunday morning while walking along the North Coota Road. The local spotted the dumped vehicle on the side of the road before seeing the victim's legs trapped under the wreckage, Nine News reported. I like this line.
So is it like a little bike? When we say scooter, it's not a...
Yeah, like a little Vespery kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. It's believed police are investigating whether alcohol was involved after finding seven bottles of beer at the scene. I feel like that's going to be a short investigation.
Well, why would there be seven bottles at the scene if they were...
They might have been on the bike. Yeah.
He might have been heading out to go for a drink. He might not have had any.
That's what has to be investigated.
Yes. Yeah. So seven beers is not a lot if he's off to a big party.
It depends if he's bought a case and he's had 17 of them on the way.
Yeah, true.
Next story. This one's a bit scary too. Do you want the headline straight up?
Yep.
Five killed as elevator at Bali Resort plunges down ravine.
Down a ravine? How does an elevator fall down a ravine?
It fell out of the hotel, obviously.
Jesus.
And it was made of
the bunyip
shower screen glass. So they all had a good view.
It's the idea of an elevator falling out of a hotel.
Is it just a shower? It's just an external shower that people get in and take.
It's Willy Wonka's flying.
Augustus Gloop.
James and the great glass elevator or whatever it is.
When Willy Wonka at the end of the film and they go out, that's what happened, but then it crashed down a ravine instead.
Lucky they ended the movie when they did, or that's how it would have ended.
Just Woo saying, oh, obviously it fell out of the
hotel. Where else do you find an elevator?
Oh, shit. How did it happen? Obviously the hotel had an elevator in a ravine.
I need to know this hotel to tell.
Do we want more detail? Yes.
I need some detail. This one. At the moment, I've got the image of a shower with people standing in it going down the side of a hotel.
Five people. Shower. Jeez, it's a big shower. Big walk-in.
Standing room only.
Oh, my God.
Balinese police are investigating the catastrophic failure of a lift that left five hotel workers dead at a resort on Friday. So these ones aren't tourists.
No.
Oh.
The accident took place at Ubud's Ayutthaya Resort about 1 p.m.
I'm fucking terrified resort, yes.
I know, right? And is believed to have occurred when a cable in the inclined lift carrying the three women and two men snapped. plunging them 100 metres down a steep ravine at the hillside resort.
This is, again, a safety thing because elevators are supposed to have multiple cables that can hold it in the event of something going wrong with one. They're also supposed to have, like, a brake system.
It's a whole bunch.
Like little legs that come out.
Yes, that's right. I know it's about my expectation of first world countries have this safety.
And do they have to be steel cables or can they be
nylon?
Rope. Yeah, yeah.
Now they got Indiana Jones vibes going on.
We only had string, so we had to use that. This is from the 6th of September last year, this article.
Isn't that shocking? Like,
these things, how they don't make the news over here, I don't know. Anyway.
So is the hotel on the coast?
It's not the coast.
A hillside. It's a hillside resort, is what I meant.
My god! I just watched it. Right,
you can see. What do you mean, watched it? Oh, you.
I just googled Ubud.
Why would you do that?
I just couldn't get my. I don't know what I've said.
I just brought up Instagram.
I just checked TikTok.
I was just interested in what sort of lift it was. I think it's one of those ones where it's I can't say the whole thing. I think it's like there's a lot of them in Europe, like in Italy and stuff, when you're on cliffs. Like it's called a lenticular, I think, that kind of
funicular.
What do I call it? A lenticular. What do I call it?
Something like that.
Anyway, you've got it right. I've got it wrong. But that kind of thing that is to take you when there's like a cliff to take you down to a beach. I think it's a similar thing. I don't think it's one of those like straight up and down. I think it's gone like that.
Right.
It's shot down. Right. I can only see the base of it. You can see people getting into it and it starts to head up and then it looks like it's released back down. So I think it's one of those.
So it's probably how they got up to work.
I think so. A cable inclined lift. Yes, so that's right. So it's not one of these. It's it's taking you up somewhere. I think up a cliff.
And from what I've still read, dead. There was footage of it a couple of years earlier where there were three ropes attached to it, and when it went, there was only one left. So back to safety thing about who needs three? Was it you, Paul, who said how many ropes do you actually expect to have on it?
Yeah.
Well, apparently once upon a time it had three, but not at the time of the accident. How shocking.
Ubud's police chief, Made Uda, told media the steel swing rope was not strong enough to pull the weight upwards, which was quite heavy, and the safety wedge or brake did not function, so the elevator slid down at high speed. As a result, the five elevator passengers died.
And do you know what? I don't even think it got up that far because in the footage, it's the camera is based, it's focused at the base of where the elevator starts. You see them walking to the elevator and then it goes out of shot and it's only a matter of seconds and it's back down. So I don't think it's even gone to its maximum height. I think it's gone up some way and the sheer weight of the people in the lift, you know, at that incline, or decline, I guess, going down. Oh, God, that's horrendous.
That is bad.
I think about this shit all the time when you guys must do it as well, but, you know, when you're traveling and things are, like, they're literally not quite too good to be true. Oh, God, I've seen old, but, like, other things where you think, oh, I don't really like the idea of that or I'm not totally, you know, it seems we're anything asking a lot of that. You know, we're asking a lot of that. I think it's okay, but, you know, you just think, oh, thank God I'm off that. But I often think this, one of my biggest fear is at carnivals and things, holy shit, on rides.
Yeah.
I get off the, like, oh, God, I'm so glad we survived, which is probably not ideal.
Someone walking off a cliff, you know, that's not so bad, but someone on an elevator.
Are they doing their job? Just doing their job and expecting their employer has at least some modicum of safety for them. Yeah, it's shocking.
Terrible.
All right, let's go on to the next story.
Mm.
And this one's titled Landslide.
The thing is, just on the other one, technically that elevator did fall out of the hotel.
Who knew?
No, it was not what I was expecting.
Yeah. Talk about 101 ways to die in Bali.
Oh, my God.
Two tourists, including an Australian woman, have been killed on the Indonesian resort island of Bali after heavy rain triggered a landslide that swept away their villa, an official said.
That is definitely the island striking back. Eat, love, pray, die in landslide.
Yeah, that's right. The wooden villa in Jitalui, I think I'm nailing my pronunciation, village on the popular tourist island was hit by the landslide on Thursday morning after a downpour in the area the previous night. Local disaster mitigation agency official Nyoman Srinadagiri told AFP. The victims were evacuated from the debris whilst in sleeping positions. There were two victims, a man and a woman in one bed, he said. The female victim, 47, was born in Australia and had a US permanent residence permit, while the male victim was reported to be her 50-year-old Dutch partner.
Oh, did you say they were evacuated in a sleeping position?
Well, they pulled them from the rubble. So the article that I have absolutely plagiarised referred to them as being evacuated, but I feel like they were pulled out of bed.
So you're saying they look like they're asleep, but the next thing you know, you're covered in a ton of mud.
I didn't say it looked like they were asleep. I'm saying they were in bed. Landslides and floods triggered by intense rains on Sumatra Island last week killed at least 27 people.
Oh. Clarky, I think you're going to have to start, like, as an influencer. You mentioned it before. I think the title will be on Instagram. You can have a page called 101 Ways to Die on Bali, as opposed to everyone's talking about the beautiful resorts and the beautiful this and the beautiful that. You just do a little thing
That's
each day.
That's a great idea.
How to die today. Who died today? That's terrible.
I could set up like an Instagram page and name it John Wayne Gacy or some other serial killer and just post footage of Instagrammers, insufferable Instagrammers dying. And it'd be like I'm a serial killer on Instagram killing off people who
Death
are
by Instagram.
So imagine if you could do that. You didn't kill the people.
Influence
you just killed
to death.
Their Instagram account.
Oh, my God, this is getting bad.
Just their accounts, not the people. All right. Next story is dog attack.
Oh, yeah.
A
Melbourne man is recovering in a Bali hospital after he was found unresponsive on the side of the road with multiple injuries. Tay Evans, 35, was enjoying a surfing trip with his friends a month after getting engaged to his long-term partner, Jessica Dennis, both 35, but a tragic accident left him fighting for his life. He'd gone back to work as a teacher. We'd just had a European holiday, and that's when we got engaged. Things were looking amazing, he told Yahoo News Australia, who are all over this shit.
Yahoo!
Yahoo! That's what the people said as they went down the elevator. Or the landslide.
Too soon? Yes.
Too far? Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
He had a bit of time before work. He'd had a tough few years, and then this happened. The accident happened on the morning of the 25th of August. However, it was sometime before anyone, including Ms. Dennis, learned of what happened. When Mr. Evans awoke from a coma 2 days later, Ms. Dennis received a phone call later that night and jumped on a flight to Bali first thing. At first, details were unknown, but it's believed Mr. Evans was alone and riding a scooter through South Kuta when tragedy struck. It's understood three stray dogs targeted him, causing him to dodge them and spin out, throwing him off the scooter and into a concrete slab. The fall left him with multiple broken ribs, a punctured lung, a ruptured spleen, a fractured elbow, vertebra and pelvis, as well as damaged kidney, which were causing severe internal bleeding.
Oh, and he had no travel insurance, I bet.
What speed was he doing?
I don't know. Maybe the dogs hoed into him afterwards too. Who knows?
It's unbelievable.
Now get this bit. Tragedy deepens as hospital runs out of blood. Ooh. When he arrived at the hospital, doctors couldn't find a pulse and he was rushed into surgery right away. But soon enough, doctors realised there wasn't enough of his O negative blood to make it through, meaning his chance of survival was slim. Mm. I didn't know it was such a high chance he wasn't going to make it. I had no idea and I don't know if I'm grateful or not for that.
That he made
it? That's apparently what his girlfriend said. I don't really understand that bit, but anyway.
That's nice. Is he been left with a couple of issues, has he? Now, I don't know if it was worth it, really.
that one that mauled his face just turned me right off.
I don't know.
No. But now this is how beautiful the Balinese people are. On learning there was not enough blood, a friend of Mr. Evans, Michael, who was in Bali with him, called on a local man he knew. They managed to get a bus full of locals, and they tested everyone until they got the right blood type. They even called in doctors to open up a nearby hospital where they drew enough blood before it was transported to the hospital ahead of Mr. Evans' surgery. Bag by bag, they ended up getting enough. It's crazy how many people there are to thank for Tay being alive today.
Wow.
Imagine that. I feel like if that happened in Melbourne, people would be like, oh, fuck off, I've got to get to work. What else could go wrong on my journey?
I'm positive, so I can't help you. But yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what I am. That's bad.
Only 7% of the population are O negative.
There you go.
So a lot of people on that bus would have been wasting their time.
93%.
Oh, God.
That's funny. All right, last story is titled Kung Fu Motorbike. And this is the one, so pay attention, this is the one that I want you to sentence. An Aussie tourist has been filmed kung fu kicking a Balinese motorcyclist and throwing himself at a moving car in a bizarre rampage. The footage circulating on social media was filmed in the popular Aussie tourist destination of Kuta as stunned locals watched on. They can be heard screaming at the tourist dressed in a white t-shirt and brown shorts as he launches into a flying kick, knocking a local cyclist off his motorbike.
Those cats were fast as lightning. It was a little bit frightening.
As a local can be heard yelling out, "Hey, stupid," the footage then appears to show the tourist deliberately running into the bonnet of a moving car.
"Hey, stupid, cut it out."
As he charges towards the car, the tourist can be heard shouting, "Fuck this, fuck you, you fucking see you next Tuesday," before throwing himself at the car.
"I hate this car. It's a Nissan Cube."
Yeah, that's right. Brushing off the impact, he can then be seen running down the street while being chased by two locals. The Seven Network identified the man as Nicholas Carr, a 26-year-old apprentice builder from South Australia. The incident is believed to have happened at 5:30 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Someone's been drinking a lot.
Imagine being the poor local on his motorbike at 5:30 a.m.
Going off to start your day at work or something.
Oh, old mate crazy.
Fuck you. Fuck you all.
Yeah. Fuck this. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Police allege Carr smashed minimart window, a smashed restaurant window, and assaulted a man sleeping in his bed. Pictures taken later show Carr tied up by his feet and covered in blood. I think that's when the locals have captured him. He was hospitalized after authorities will be undergo. He was hospitalized and will undergo psychiatric testing. His fly kick victim, Wayan Wirawan, luckily sustained only minor cuts and grazes. "I was on my way to work. Suddenly,
See,
a foreign
you,
man
was on
kicked
his way
me.
To work.
I was extremely shocked."
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm going to ask you to sentence, but before I do, I'm going to show you the footage of the incident.
Oh, okay.
Just so that you can clearly see what we're dealing
with. What a drunk Aussie looks like.
Okay.
What a dipshit.
Yeah, but it is a little bit, you know, ninja-esque, just out of nowhere.
I have to say, it was pretty impressive in and of itself. But yeah, no one was hurt. It was like
you
had some real height.
Kicking him, I didn't expect him to go like football tackle up there, Kazali high on the back of the bike and smack him like that. That's incredible.
That is everything I hate about tourists in Bali.
Yeah.
Like,
anyway,
come on, mate. That poor bloke is on his way to work. And
why are you doing this?
What on earth makes you think that that's okay?
It's disgusting.
I hate it.
Okay. So are we sentencing him?
Yeah, absolutely we are.
I'm taking his passport off him and I'm not allowing him to travel more than 5 kilometres from his home.
Oh, that's a good one.
Lockdown.
Oh, you are locked down, my friend, because you can't behave nicely in society. Yeah,
nice. Swanny?
Well, I think you should definitely do some time in Bali, a little bit of time.
No, extradite him to Thailand. Send him to Bangkok Hilton.
I was going
to
say, I don't know that it's much better in Bali necessarily either. I don't know. I think it would have to come back to sort of some cultural understanding and just make him feel like absolute shit, for treating people with zero respect. I don't know. It's awful. I just don't see a lot of it in real life. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure when you're in Bali, you probably didn't come across people treating anybody badly either.
No.
I'm not in those, you're not going to those places.
You see lots of drunk people having fun and carrying on, but they don't attack other people randomly like that. You know, like I've seen plenty of obnoxious tourists, but they're just a bit irritating. They're not actually doing things.
Yeah, I know it happens. I just haven't seen it firsthand, but I know. So that to see that example is exactly what you think
is quite shocking. Yeah,
it is. I'm pretty flawed by that shit. Yeah. He's just out of control. Wouldn't have mattered. He wouldn't have gone because it was a Balinese. He wouldn't have given a shit who it was. He probably does that shit
back in Australia probably. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's a feral. Put him on a P&O and he'll, that story that you covered in the cruise.
He's the kind of guy who, punched someone and
They
were from Adelaide.
Adelaide, you've got a problem.
Yeah. So I think, you know the story of Solomon Grundy?
I don't think I do.
He was someone who lived for a week. So it was like Solomon Grundy, born on Monday, blah, 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 and he died.
I definitely do not know of him, no.
No, it's
the first time hearing.
Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday, christened on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, took ill on Thursday, grew worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. That was the end of Solomon Grundy.
Okay.
So that's how it goes.
Have you been saying this since you're a small child, or is this something? Where did you get it from? How do you know about it? You just grew up.
It's a thing. Yeah,
I don't doubt it. I don't know. It sounds a little bit familiar, but I don't know personally.
What I enjoy is in Wikipedia it says not to be confused with Salama Gundy or Solomon Gundy, of which I don't know what they are either.
Thank God, yes. They would be insufferable Instagrammers, surely.
Probably, yes. No, there's something to do with pickled herrings and the shit. Anyway, go on.
So I think we should change his name to Solomon Grundy, but instead of being born on a Monday, it can be Solomon Grundy, dog attack on a Monday, landslide on a Tuesday, angel billabong on Wednesday.
Shower screen.
Elevator on a Thursday, glass bridge on a Friday. You get it. And he can just have that same week over and over and over again.
Fair enough. I think that's a good one.
I like it. Mm.
Oh, maybe Sunday can be kung fu kicked on a Sunday.
And then the dogs can get him again.
Yeah. There you go. That's, lots of ways to die in Bali.
Or the island strikes back.
Oh, I feel like it needs a theme tune. But that's it. Ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba. And again, Swanee's like, what are you on?
Nice. I like it.
All right. Well, that was a very funny collection of random stories. So thank you very much, Clarkie. And I kind of enjoyed it, although...
Particularly found the hilarious one to be the glass bridge. I love how you said that was a collection of funny stories or something.
I know, they were real crackers. Elevator falling out of a hotel is an image I'll not forget in a hurry. Although having then looked it up, I was like, oh, that's actually really bad. But the way when we said obviously it fell out of a hotel, I still find that funny. Yeah. Right. Anyway, thank you for that. And as we say every week, miss you already.
Ciao.
Miss you already. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to Trial by Wine. You can contact us at trialbywine@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Trial by Wine on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to support us, you can become a patron at www.patreon.com/trialbywine or visit our website www.trialbywine.com to donate to us. Your support will help us cover many more cases and apply wacky sentences. We really appreciate you listening and hope you tell everyone about us. Our cover art is by John Christo and music is by Beauchamp from pixabay.com.